Michael Phillips is still here with us as we officially close out this Marx Brothers Marathon. A Night at the Opera was the last film, but now we want to get to our awards. We're calling them the Gookies. And if you're wondering where that comes from, we just learned it ourselves about a week ago via Twitter and via email. We were looking for a name for these awards. And Josh, after you came on during our Monkey Business discussion and really just let Harpo have it and specifically pointed out how you just cannot deal with this face he makes over and over
again.
Made
me angry.
It turns out that
it's a very famous.
Very famous. Famous we showed our ignorance yet again. That's a very famous thing. It has a name.
It was the
Gookie.
First time I'd seen it, so pardon my visceral reaction.
And it's like saying you didn't know that W.C. Fields juggled. I mean, you know.
I did know that. Right. I can say I knew that, but I've never seen him do it. So, Josh, read this email. We got this comment from Laura Ellis, who chimes in with an explanation on the Gookie.
Josh, the face of Harpo's that you hate is called a Gookie. The brothers grew up in the Germantown neighborhood of New York in the 1880s and 90s. Harpo, when he was a young teen, was watching a shoemaker working in his shop, apparently in the front window. He made a lot of faces as he concentrated on his work, and Harpo tried to duplicate these. The cobbler's name was Gookie. When Gookie looked up and saw Harpo, he became incensed, and that reinforced Harpo to keep making the face. He makes the face in every movie, and it becomes a signature like Alfred Hitchcock doing a walk-on. Well, not now, Adam. I think it's hilarious.
Do you? After the explanation? Well, and we should point out as well that
nothing kills comedy like an explanation.
Some listeners also sent us a link to the YouTube clip of Wacko from Animaniacs, which my kids absolutely adore. And without any explanation, I don't think they ever mention Harpo or the Marx Brothers by name.
So.
They just say, I'm looking for a new Gookie. I'm looking for my new face to make this season. So clearly it's very famous, and I should have watched the Animaniacs more growing up. Laura also was the person who wrote in with a little story about her family connection to the Marx Brothers, and I read this during a donation segment when she contributed to the show. I said I was going to save it for the marathon. I want to read it here. She says, my grandfather was a card shark, and the studio hired him to play cards on the set with Chico. Chico was a compulsive gambler, as you noted, Michael, and would disappear during the day while Coconuts was being filmed in Astoria, New York, and the brothers were performing Animal Crackers at night on Broadway. There's a tip of the hat to my grandmother, Mabel, in Duck Soup. She used to bring snacks to the games. Groucho comes out of the presidential palace and gets into the presidential sidecar driven by Harpo. He says, ride like the wind. If you run out of gas, get Ethel. If Ethel runs out, get Mabel. That's why it's Mabel and not Hermione or some other name. I don't know if that is really true or not, but it's family lore and I like it, so I'm sticking to it. We'll go with it, Laura. Thank you for that note and for putting up with us throughout this Marx Brothers marathon. As we close out the Gookies, we have four categories. We have Best Groucho One-Liner, Best Supporting Performance, and that can include a Marx Brother, Best Gag, and Best Picture. What movie was our favorite? Now, Michael, you, of course, were not on for these previous discussions, but having seen all these films and many other Marx Brothers films, we do want your contribution. So why don't you start us off with your favorite Groucho one-liner? Mm. Can you narrow it down to one line?
No. but I'm still reeling from Josh's kind of like dismissive view of some of the wordplay in those Paramount films. I mean, this is like S.J. Perlman.
Elephant in the pants is that your favorite?
Coming.
No, don't spoil my moment.
No. Here.
You know what I love? There's in the film in the 1931 film Monkey Business. And this isn't even like a great standout excerptable gag. It's just it's completely emblematic of the Groucho's attitude when faced with a gun. You know, there's the bootlegger saying, "You know what? You got anything to say before I drill you?" And he just says, "Yes, I'd like to ask you one question. Do you think girls think less of a boy if he lets himself be kissed?" And I just think that it's so great, and it goes on from there. But to me, that's not even funny out of context. But that's why I like the Paramounts, because nothing's funny out of context.
I like that absurd stuff better than the puns. The puns, it's just a sense of humor thing. Like I said, those don't resonate with me.
There's a great pun in Duck Soup, though. Eliminate? I love that. In the courtroom, says, that's the kind of testimony we're going to have to eliminate. He says, that's the fine. I'll take some what? I'll take some lemonade. A nice cold glass of lemonade. I mean,
you're either going to be the type of person who trades these back all night long, or you're just going to stand here and stare.
So what's your favorite one-liner that's not a pun, Josh?
Or bigamy. There's a great pun on bigamy.
There are some that aren't puns? No, you know what I actually enjoy when Groucho is, and I think it's only twice in the films we've seen, but it's been fun, when he's dictating a letter, and I really liked when he's doing it
to Hunga Nunga
yes.
McCormick.
Yeah, do you like that one, Michael?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, all right. So purists can appreciate that one, too. Common ground. I love it.
Sending for the police, eh? I say take it to my lawyers. Well, I am taking it. Honorable Charles H. Hunga Nunga. Care of Hunga Nunga, Hunga Nunga, Hunga Nunga, Hunga Nunga, and McCormick. Semicolon. How do you spell semicolon? All right, make it a comma. Honorable Charles H. Hungerdon. Okay, Hungerdon McCormick. Gentlemen, question mark. Do you want that in the letter? No, put that in an envelope.
What's fun about that scene is the faux professionalism of it and the misplaced sense of authority that Groucho brings to it. If I have to pick a line, all the lines in that whole sequence are really good. But his answer to Zeppo's question, how do you spell semicolon, just says, all right, make it a comma. It's the authoritative way he throws out solutions that are still complete nonsense.
Yeah.
Very good stuff.
And I just love the way it opens with gentleman question mark.
Yep.
I mean, that's perfect.
Well, it's not often that one of my award picks gets ruined before we even get to it. It gets just totally trampled on the way you did. But yeah, I'm going with that line from Animal Crackers. I'm going with the famous "One morning I shot an elephant in my pajamas." You get that. You get the whole Tuscaloosa bit, the irrelevant. Come on, that's a great string of puns there in my favorite sequence from Animal Crackers. So that's my favorite Groucho one-liner. What about best supporting performance, Michael? And we did, for the sake of this discussion, include the Marx Brothers themselves, not Groucho. He really does carry most of the screen time. It depends on the film, I guess.
Depends on the film. Again, in the Paramounts, it's much more equitably distributed.
Basically, I really wanted Josh to have to consider Harpo for this category, so that's the only reason we did it this way. What's your pick?
In the Dishy Ingenue category, I would go Lillian Roth, one of my favorites from that era in Animal Crackers. It's the most over-the-top sort of theatrical an uncinematic kind of performance, but I fell in love with her when I was 13, and I never quite got over it. But she's also the subject.
That's all you need to know.
She's the subject of the film "I'll Cry Tomorrow," the Susan Hayward weepy about this alcoholic train wreck of an actress named Lillian Roth. So I mean, she actually had a little bit of Hollywood lore behind her. But what I really like in Duck Soup, and that's not my very favorite Marx Brothers film either, Josh, but I happen to think it's good.
we differ there.
I love the way the director, Leo McCarey, who was easily the best director they ever worked with.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, okay. All right, great. I can't wait to hear this. But I love the way that McCarey, who worked a lot with Laurel and Hardy, and really knew how to set up patiently a kind of a running gag. But the whole lemonade stand thing where Edgar Kennedy, who was a frequent foil to Laurel and Hardy, turns up and then plays the same role as Harpo destroys his lemonade stand business. But that I love those gags. That's a very patiently kind of set up thing. And I think that's wonderful. And that's actually kind of a different sort of anarchy than you get in the rest of Duck Soup.
Yeah, I agree. Well, not only did I consider Harpo, Adam, I am giving him the best supporting performance award. Yes, I'm not backtracking on my revulsion at his
cookie. The readers completely shamed you into this? Or what?
No. I still do not want to see that Punch and Judy routine with him pulling the face. But in A Night at the Opera, he was not only tolerable, I would say he's charming.
There's the scene
where he's playing the goofy little piano piece with the kids. That it's delightful. I couldn't believe it was the same guy. I think in general,
you want him to be Danny Kaye.
No.
Here's what I'm getting here.
Here's what it is.
And all the endearments.
His mania.
You saw the sweater he was wearing
is
earlier.
It's less mean-spirited, which can be okay. I'm not writing off mean-spiritedness in all cases. But for Harpo, I think it was a problem in Duck Soup with the lemonade stand and other scenes. But here, it's more chaotic, I'd argue. It's just uncontrollable compulsion is what he has in a lot of the scenes in A Night at the Opera, which works really well. He's like a dog that's become fixated on this rubber ball, whether he's guzzling umpteen glasses of water so that he doesn't have to make a speech or
making the
breakfast out of pancakes, and then he adds the teapot, and he just keeps adding things. I love that. Mm. The scene at the end where they're all on stage at the opera, and he sees one actor rip the bottom of a skirt off of an actress, which is planned. It's part of the production, and he just turns around and starts ripping skirts off everyone he sees. I love that quality of him. Once he gets an idea in his head, it's all he can think about. I really appreciated his performance in A Night at the Opera.
Well, second pick in a row here, not only that we agree on Harpo Marx as my pick, but for Monkey Business, but it is the second time in a row now that you've ruined my pick. You've totally
expressed disdain
for my choice.
So the Marx Brothers have actually done some good for you guys.
Yes,
That's good, without a doubt.
I'm going with the sequence you can't stand.
Oh.
It's the puppet. It's the Punch and Judy sequence from Monkey Business.
Oh, yeah, good scene.
The gookie face is so fantastic. That probably made me laugh out loud more than any other sequence in all the films we watched. Watching those kids react to him in that scene, watching that face, the googie he puts on to trick the captain of the ship, I thought that was genuinely hilarious. I'll also give him a nod for the frog in my throat sequence we talked about, where he picks the guy up trying to get his pet frog
yeah,
out.
I did like that.
That's wonderful. And the Chevalier passport sequence, where he is the culmination of that gag with the phonograph on his back. Harpo Marx is my choice. So that brings us to the Gookie for best gag. I know this has to be even harder than picking a one-liner, maybe, Michael. What's your favorite Marx Brothers gag?
I mean, okay, this is the loosest definition of gag ever. I really, this wasn't part of the marathon, but for everybody who's as appalled as I am at the ignorance these two hosts are showing toward the great comedy.
Are you ever coming back, Michael?
I may not. And yeah, I'll come back for the W.C. Fields marathon just to make you guys watch this stuff. The first 5-7 minutes of Horse Feathers, where Groucho's playing the president of Huxley College, and he gets to sing the song that even people who don't like the Marx Brothers tend to know, Whatever It Is, I'm Against It, which immediately becomes a completely unrelated song called I Always Get My Man.
My son is right, I'm quick to fight, I'm from a fighting clan. When I'm abused or badly used, I always get my man. No matter if he's in Peru, Paducah, or Japan, I go ahead alive or dead, I always get my man. Of all of those who put me on the pan, like Shakespeare said to Nathan Hale, I always get my man.
And I love the comedy musical numbers you get in, especially the early Marx Brothers films. It's musical comedy, essentially. And Groucho happens to be this fantastically bizarre, eccentric dancer. He keeps doing the same routine, you know, the corkscrew leg routine, mm-hmm. which he does in several films. But I love the first 5 minutes of that. And it's because talk about sentimentality, it's the first film I ever saw of them when I was probably 8 or 9 on WGN. And I thought, where the hell have these guys been my young adult life? You know, I'm 9 and I missed them all these years. But the first 5 minutes of Horse Feathers to me is a great intro, and it serves no rhyme or reason. It barely even sets up the plot, but it's just my kind of anarchy.
I did watch that on YouTube today, at least half of that song, and it is a great song. So yeah. I can see your love for that, Josh.
Well, I don't know if my pick for best gag qualifies as the right kind of anarchy for Michael, but it is anarchy. It's In a Night at the Opera. It's the musical bed sequence.
That's a good scene. That's really clever staging.
It's the staging. It's disciplined in the way I talked about. It's Groucho has settled into this luxury suite with a sitting room and then a bedroom. Chico Harpo and Alan Jones, they're all hiding from the police, so they have cots set up in the bedroom. And the cop comes in looking for them, demands to know why there are so many beds in the bedroom. Chase ensues, and they end up basically moving the cots out onto the balcony as the cop comes in the room. Then when he leaves, they bring him back. And it's just this ridiculous circle going on. The point where I did laugh out loud, and I'm sorry, that's how I measure comedies, is when I'm going to laugh out loud, then I start to go for it, is when they take the real bet out. Because I'd argue that that's when we've hit that level of lunacy. There's no need.
Right.
No longer care about evading the
cop. No, it's all just about driving that guy crazy.
It's just become moving these beds all over the place. Wonderful scene.
Yeah, it is a good scene.
My favorite gag is a perfect compliment to that one, because it's another one that really relies on the coordination and the choreography and the structure to it. And it's from Duck Soup, the very famous mirror sequence. We talked about it last week on the show. Harpo and Groucho, I believe, where Harpo is dressed up as Groucho. He's an imposter, and they meet each other in what should be a mirror, but the mirror has been broken. And then you see them coordinate this dance where Harpo is pretending to be him in the mirror as if he's his reflection. And not the funniest sequence. I don't think it's one that really makes a lot of people
laugh,
probably.
It's also dead quiet. Eerie scene in many ways.
Yeah, but it goes on so much longer than you'd think it even would, but it just continues to get more and more interesting as the staging gets more and more intricate and the body movements do. So that's my favorite Marx Brothers gag of the four pictures I've seen. And that brings us to our best picture. What is your favorite Marx Brothers movie? You, of course, Michael, are picking outside of the realm of the four we watched in this marathon here. What's your overall favorite?
I can't say it's their best film, but I love watching Animal Crackers the most, because it was the one that was it was out of circulation for 40 years, and then in 1974, I believe, I don't know if it was a question of discovering a print or just getting the thing out of rights syndication snag trouble. It was never on television, never anything for all those decades. And then to see that, to have seen that film as a Marx Brothers fan as a kid, And like a lot of people, comedy was sort of my way into the movies, you know. And it's all those. I was just a big comedy geek. All this stuff that got me in was, you know, Laurel and Hardy, W.C. Fields, you know, Keaton, Chaplin, especially Keaton and Chaplin. But I really did respond to this sort of hyperverbal, crazy shit that, you know, especially with Groucho leading the way, you'd get. And I adored that kind of dense, obsessive wordplay that you get in these things. And that's, you get a lot of that in Animal Crackers. That film completely starts getting dull at the two-thirds point. But I think the first two-thirds of that is just magic. And I really, really, you know, I love scenes in the following three almost equally, so that it's like a three-way tie between Monkey Business, Horse Feathers, and Duck Soup. And then Night at the Opera is pretty good.
Good to hear.
I think it's better than pretty good.
That's not
your favorite, Josh?
I do. It is my favorite. For the record, I enjoyed three out of the four of these films.
I know. You keep stressing that. I'm not sure anyone's buying it.
I keep hearing differently via email. But for me, though, A Night at the Opera does stand far and above even Animal Crackers and Monkey Business. It just, like I said, it was disciplined where it needed to be, still allowed for the chaos. It was disdainful of pretension still, which I think is the key, yet it wasn't unnecessarily or randomly cruel. It does have two great sequences in the stateroom scene and the musical bed ones that I mentioned. So I do think I stand by my criticisms of Harpo in other films and Duck Soup in general. But here in A Night at the Opera, I could finally see, at least for me, what all the fuss over the Marx Brothers could be about.
Well, I guess I disagree, Michael, and I know you're going to be incredulous with the notion that Leo McCarey is the best director, at least of the four I've seen.
Norman McLeod.
I'm giving it to Norman McLeod. For Monkey Business.
Yeah,
I think that is the best directed. It's the one that clips along like a great screwball comedy. There's no dead time in that film whatsoever. It's the most cinematic of all their films. The camera moves the most. What's there not to love? Margaret Dumont's not in the film. I love that.
It's Dumont. You're obsessed with Dumont, man.
There's also, not that I minded these sequences in the other three films, but there's also no harp or piano sequence.
No, right. That's a notable thing about that
film. I actually do think speaks to the fact that structurally it's another one like A Night at the Opera that feels kind of like an actual story and not just a succession of gags. So for me, that's the movie that really stood out. It also has all the sequences I mentioned from Harpo as my favorite supporting performer. Those are some of my favorite and some of the funniest from this entire marathon. So Monkey Business for me was the clear best picture winner. I wonder if I'm kind of out on a limb there when you think about some of the really famous Marx Brothers films. I don't know that Monkey Business really stands out or not.
Yeah, I don't recall.
It almost got left out of our marathon.
Right, and I don't remember a lot of listeners coming to its defense.
So I really just completely wrong.
Yeah,
just completely.
Yeah.
Way off base here. I don't know, but we had a lot of fun with this marathon, despite the fact that we
are glad we did it. Yeah,
rankled so many of you and drawn your ire. But you liked three of the four movies ultimately.
Exactly.
I liked two of the four movies, and
we found a lot of awards to give.
Yeah, we did find a lot of awards, and I'm really thankful that we finally did get this exposure